Well, for all intents and purposes, folks, Babylon is falling. We've got so much government corruption everywhere that is being exposed publicly. Canada is a basket case of corruption with Justin Trudeau. And we've been putting a lot of posts up on Eurofolk Radio on the front page.
Side by side photo with Fidel
There
Castro.
you go. Yep.
If it had the same angle, he'd look like a young Castro. Dead on.
Right?
Just dead on.
Yeah, because the story is that Fidel Castro is Justin Trudeau's father, because he was born 9 months after Pierre Trudeau, which would be, what would he be? The stepfather of
I
Justin
guess.
Trudeau, right?
Ah, we
Right.
got good sound. Swamp Fox says good. Yeah, we got some new stuff, Swamp Fox.
Yeah, Paul and I have been fixing the sound settings, and it should be really good from now on if everything holds. So, but the SNC Lavalin corruption scandal, where that big construction company bribed Justin Trudeau with all kinds of money, has been doing so for many years, actually. They got caught. They got caught. Justin Trudeau may be coming down as Prime Minister of Canada. That would be awesome because that guy is a total LGBT commie. Absolute
Yeah.
communist. Yeah.
Yeah, we got it. We got to have a new ending for that song.
Yeah.
Oh God, it's the Jews again.
Right, there you
Tell
go.
us when it's gonna end.
Right.
Do-ah.
Yeah.
Oh
What a
my.
what a sick government. You know, of course it's totally liberal. They got all of this what do you call it, the new pronouns, right? The left-wing pronouns, you know, that and if you don't use the right pronoun for a snot-nosed liberal, transgender, poofter, yeah, there's a good pronoun, poofter. Hey,
Yeah,
poof. Hey, poof.
I used that.
Yeah, right. You
Remember that?
commies,
I put
right?
it in there. What about that clothing ad that they had? And I looked at the clothing ad, and they're all a bunch of real thin little fags.
Right. Right.
Oh man, you can just tell by the posture, the way they carry
Oh.
themselves,
Yeah.
poofers.
Yeah, right. Yeah, and Justin Trudeau is the quintessential poofter and a proper upper of liberalism, communism, socialism, homosexuality, you name it. In fact, Justin Trudeau is Canada's version of Hillary Clinton, except that he won the election, right? Tail gutters. Right.
Tail cutters. Oh, man.
Right. Okay. So today, oh, by the way, let me just quickly announce again, rats. I believe it's February 27th. The note is not in front of me. The day of fasting, day of prayer and fasting for South Africa and the white race. Okay, so don't forget about that. We're going to set that day aside for prayer and fasting, and we want Yahweh to execute judgment on all of these liberals, poofters, and of course the Jews and all of the enemies of the white race. So that's what we're going to, and we may even do a special show that day. We'll see. Okay.
27th.
The 27th, and I don't have a calendar in front of me. I think we said that as a Tuesday. I'm not sure. I can look it up while we're doing the show. Or
The
maybe.
27th, guys.
Yeah,
What
but.
day? What day? What day? The 27th.
Yeah, what day of the week is.
There he's got
Yeah,
it. There he's
yeah.
got
Yeah, I think
it.
people are asking what day of the week is that as well.
I
Okay,
don't
so,
know.
yeah. And, the real estate company that usually sends me a desk calendar failed to do so this year. So be there or
Well,
be square. There you go.
I'll be able to tell you. Here, let
Okay.
me look at my calendar. No, the 27th is a Sabbath day.
We can't do it. Oh, no, 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 no. I mean, we can do prayer and fasting.
No, you are not to fast on a Sabbath.
I'm not sure there's a rule against fasting on a Sabbath day. We don't have to. I mean, yeah, we don't have to fast on Sabbath days, but I don't think there's any rule against it.
No, you're supposed to feast on a Sabbath day.
Well, we'll see. You know, we can double check all that. It would be annoying to have to pick a different day. And the reason Pastor Martin's picked that day is because it's a remembrance day for South Africa's victory over the British Empire. Okay, so it's not quite as big as Blood River, but it's still very big. Okay. So, anyway, all right. So, oh, yeah. And so, one other announcement, Rick Tyler, who is the, you know, he was running for office in Tennessee a couple years ago and did interviews on Eurofolk Radio with us a couple of times, actually several times. He has started a conference, an annual conference in Tennessee last year. It was around the end of June. This year it's going to be around the end of June also, June 28th through 30th, at Montgomery Bell State Park. And the website is nationalistsolutions.com. Nationalistsolutions.com. If you want to attend the conference, you can go there. I'll see if I can find that online and post it into the chat area. Okay, so a lot happening this year, and I'm gonna be going there. Yeah, I will definitely go.
I can't until I'm off paper.
Right. Yeah, you can't leave Kentucky, not without special permission. Anyway, you know.
Well, they wouldn't give me. They find out I went down there, they'd lock me up again.
Right. Yeah. Okay. No, you don't want to risk that. Right.
No. Yeah. I'm going to stay squeaky clean until the 18th of December.
There you go. That's 2 days after Blood River. Yeah, well, nice. Very coincidental. Right.
And
okay.
Then, I'm already starting to get all my stuff organized on what I'm going to pack up. And then you need to find out about the internet over there. I mean, we're going to make a move.
Yeah,
I'm going to move over, and Eli and I are going to work together. And travel together.
Central Illinois. Right.
And stomp on Jews together.
Yeah, there you go. All right. Very good.
Yeah,
okay.
I've been waiting to get free. I'm free except I'm on a leash. You know how the government is.
Sure.
So
yeah, and
I've been a good boy.
Yeah, right. Yeah, but that leash you've been tied to, you're wearing out the grass in a big circle. once you're free, then you can wear out the whole country, right?
Right.
Yeah, right. Okay, so this article is Iceland's Great Inheritance. It's actually a little booklet, or maybe it's part lifted from one of Adam Rutherford's books. Adam Rutherford is actually one of the founders of British Israel. And he was a pyramidologist demonstrating how Yahweh's prophecies dating from the days of Adam have been encoded in the Great Pyramid at Giza. He was one of the documenters of that, okay? Basically, the way it works is for every...
I'm an old Giza.
Yeah, right. For every inch in the passageways of the Great Pyramid, it corresponds to a year of history with the timeline beginning in 2141 BC, okay? And a lot of interesting prophecy results, okay? Some of it pretty accurate. Some of it pretty accurate, actually pinpointing the life of Christ within the passageways. But it tends to break down as you go further into the future. And I think the reason why is because after so many thousands of years, because the Great Pyramid is at least 10,000 years old, the settlement of the structure makes it harder to predict with any accuracy the higher up you go into the pyramid. Okay, so but anyway, here is Adam Rutherford's take on the tribe of Benjamin. And a preface: Iceland is one of the most remarkable countries in the world, and the following pages contain the evidence that this little nation has yet a wonderful and honored part to perform in the great scheme of things in the near future. Now, it's very interesting. When was this written here? I believe in the 1930s. Shoot, doesn't give it.
I've got a little information about Iceland.
Yeah, okay.
The lava from Iceland's volcano is the most liquid lava in the world. It runs just like water. It's not thick and gooey like other lava, and it is super hot.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And
yeah.
Iceland has been growing exponentially because that volcano has been in continuous eruption.
It's
expanding. It's not blowing stuff up in the air. It's just flowing this lava out constantly.
And probably because it's more liquid, it doesn't have the pressure.
And it goes into the sea, and it's building up a bigger landmass.
Yeah.
To Iceland. So
right. Okay. Yeah. Well,
that's how a lot of the Pacific islands were formed. Well.
Oh yeah.
Iceland is Hawaii, getting additional territory as we speak.
Yeah. Very good. Very good. And also, Icelanders don't have to pay any heating bills. They just use the thermal heat energy from the under the dirt under their feet, right, to heat every house on the island. They don't have to pay any heating bills. Okay.
And you're not allowed to wear runes into any of the gambling houses.
Really?
Yeah.
Is that for
they
real?
Say that boosts your luck. They check you over, and if you have any runes on you, they will eject you.
Incredible. I mean, they're that superstitious? TSA.
Oh, yeah, they still do the runes and stuff up there.
Yeah, right. Yeah, well, a lot of the Nordic countries still do that.
They have them on the buildings, and they have certain runes that boost luck.
Right.
And you're not allowed to wear those runes into the gambling houses.
Very interesting. But I think one of the things that this prophecy that Iceland would be a blessing not only to the Icelanders themselves, but also to the kindred Scandinavian, Anglo-Saxon, and Celtic people, i.e. Caucasian Israel, when they ejected the banksters, that was a major development, okay? Iceland set an example to the rest of Israel worldwide. That's what we're supposed to do, eject these banksters, okay?
All right. Did they howl.
Oh, yeah. Okay, Iceland's great inheritance. I'll take this first part, and then you can take the next title. Almost forgot. Sorry, folks. One other thing, if I can bring this up. We're going to try to take calls this evening. And let me just get the call-in numbers here. And it's called Free Conference. I have it up and running right now. At the bottom of the hour, we will start taking calls into this show live. And the number is, in the United States, 218-339-7800. I think Paul English has already posted these numbers on the website. Again, repeating, 218-339-7800. And the access code is 546-7723. I will repeat that. 546-7723. All you have to do is pick up a phone, call the 218 number, again, 218-339-7800. You will be prompted by a nice British-sounding operator computer lady, and she will ask you to put in the access code, which is 546-7723, okay? So I will be monitoring the conference call, at the bottom of the hour so we can take calls. All right? So.
And it worked good. We tested it out.
We tested it, Fake News Now, last Tuesday. And I know you and Paul tested it out in person.
Oh, yes.
Okay. All right.
I'm not easily impressed, but I'm impressed.
Yeah, yeah.
And the audio quality is outstanding.
Right. Yeah. So this solves our call-in problems that we've had for many years. And so hopefully this will work out for us. So, all right. So let's get back to Iceland's great inheritance. Iceland is unique amongst the nations of the world, as this little country is isolated, being separated from all others by hundreds of miles of ocean. One might have expected the Icelanders to be a backward race, lacking in civilization and far behind the times. But instead, we find the reverse of this to be true, for Iceland is the most highly cultured nation in the world today, as the following facts regard this remarkable people clearly show. Well, of course, they have a paucity of Jews. That's probably why, right? No Jews want to live on a stinking little island. They want to be running around Europe and America and big countries.
There's no central bank.
Right.
They kick the central bankers out and all the Jews out, and of course the Jews don't want to go there.
Yeah, right. He's 4 points he makes here. There is no expenditure on armaments in Iceland, the money being spent on culture instead. Consequently, there is neither army nor navy, and there are no fortifications.
Fortifications.
Right, yeah.
Typo.
Right, typo. Okay, fortifica, what's that? In proportion to the population, there are more books and periodicals published in Iceland than in any other country. We should sell our books there. But I contacted an Iceland publisher about doing our books. They're outrageously expensive. Outrageously expensive. Number three, the poor people speak the language of the country in the same manner as the university professors. Hence, there are no dialects or slang, and there is less difference between the commonly spoken speech and the written language that exists in other lands. Number four, the Icelandic language was already molded into a powerful and flexible instrument of written thought when nobody in Europe outside Iceland attempted to write a book except in Latin. So in other words,
that would have been another page. It would have continued on to the other page in the right book.
Yeah, the page numbers don't line up with the titles. Okay, the headings. All right, okay. Another problem here. Okay. So just to finish this sentence or this section off, in the 12th and 13th centuries, Iceland produced more vernacular literature than any other nation in Europe, and from that time, love of information has been a distinguishing feature of the Icelanders, Chambers Encyclopedia. The number of poets is proportionally greater than in any other country. Icelandic literature is in some respects unique in the world. It is almost as old as the nation it created and covers a longer period than any other literature in any modern European language. It is recorded in a tongue which has changed so little from that spoken by the settlers a millennium ago that any child can understand the oldest Icelandic writings almost as easily as if they had been written yesterday. It has always been the property of the common people who have made no small contribution to it. From Iceland, page 133, by Thorsteinsson. Okay, so I'm wondering what dialect, what it's related to. It's got to be a version of Celtic and or Nordic language. Okay, so over to you. Take point five.
All right, illiteracy is unknown in Iceland. Not only do the Icelanders accept Christianity, but the established Church of Iceland is of the very best type, for example, evangelical and tolerant.
Oh, No, we don't want tolerant. Actually, we don't want evangelical either.
And Iceland is the one country wherein the whole nation voluntarily support the church and dwell together in Christian unity.
Okay. Voluntary. That's good.
I know a little bit more about Iceland than he's saying here. Iceland has a morality problem.
Okay. All right. Yeah. Christian morality is not very good
very
these days.
Very loose on the sex.
Hmm.
Okay. It's too cold for a lot of the Cachahundas and Mamba Jabbas
to
move
good.
Up there.
That's good. That's a good thing.
So it's pretty white, but...
yeah, a lot of ski resorts.
When this was... No. When this was written, it may have changed until now.
Right.
We don't know what time has done to Iceland, and we will see what we will see.
Yeah.
What a record. This surely looks as if divine providence has isolated and prepared the Icelandic nation for a special purpose. True. Mm-hmm. Iceland is a tiny nation, but the scriptures inform us that the Almighty at times chooses to use the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty. That's very true.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
That's very true. The similarity of the position of Iceland today in relation to the other nations of Christendom to that the tribe of Benjamin among the other tribes of Israel in biblical times is very striking, as will be seen from the following table.
Okay. All right. So obviously he's saying that Iceland is Benjamin. Okay, Iceland and Benjamin are identical, although there are also Benjaminites on mainland Europe because they were called the Sea Wolves. They were very much like the Vikings, but they were their own tribe, and they were called the Sea Wolves because the wolf is the symbol of the tribe of Benjamin. Okay, so let me take these next six here. The tribe of Benjamin was by far the smallest of all the 12 tribes of Israel. 2, Benjamin, the ancestor and federal head of the Benjamites, was the youngest of all Jacob's 12 sons, from whom the respective tribes of Israel originated. At one time, Benjamin ravened as a wolf, but in the end proved to be the tribe truest to the faith, and all 12 apostles of Christ were ultimately chosen from that one tribe. I believe the replacement for Judas, I forget what his name is, was also a Benjamite. The Benjamites, or Galileans, as they were later called, followed the Savior by the thousands. It was the Jews of Judea who rejected him and had him crucified. Thank you very much. Number 4, the Benjamites were liberty-loving and tolerant in religion. It was the most famous Benjamite of all, the great Apostle Paul, who said, quote, "Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free." 2 Corinthians 3:17, Galatians 5:1. Number 5. The Benjamites, Galatians, were the first to translate and preach the scriptures in other languages. That's something I never knew. But I guess because on the mainland, the Catholic Church prohibited the translation of the scriptures into other languages besides Latin. Okay. Number 6, Benjamin was the light bearer of the tribes of Israel. Okay, so here's, I think this next section is about Iceland's physical location. All right, if you want to take that, Pastor Steve.
All right. Iceland. Da-da-da-da-da-da. Iceland is... it's been a good week.
Right,
with
good.
All the success we've had at EFR.
Right. And, things are going well. Going well.
New weapons to kick Jew butt. Oh,
right.
Yes. Iceland is the smallest civilized nation, not only in Europe, but in the whole world. Iceland became inhabited last of the European countries, and is therefore the youngest of them all. Pardon me. The Icelandic forefathers as Vikings also ravened as a wolf. But in the end, Iceland likewise proved truer to the faith than any other country. Today, although there is full religious liberty, almost everybody in Iceland accepts Christianity. From the first of the Icelanders, have been an almost homogeneous people as regards church and religion, and religious controversies may be said to be unknown in the country. Well,
yeah, probably not anymore.
They are also, there is a very, very large white separatist movement in Iceland.
That's good.
Most of the people are very standoffish. They don't mix.
Mm-hmm.
So,
yeah,
that's one of the, I have researched a lot of this stuff. While I was locked up, there was a lot of the guys that did the Norse stuff in prison.
Yeah.
And they had a lot of literature. I didn't believe any of the Norse stuff.
Right.
And at one time I could read and write in runes. I've lost that because I haven't kept up with it.
Right.
The Icelanders are also very liberty-loving and tolerant in religion. The established church of Iceland is the Evangelical Lutheran Church. That's a lefty church now.
Yeah.
Big time lefty.
Yeah.
The Icelandic church has always been liberal in her views.
As you just stated.
Even the so-called Orthodox branch of it. As a result of the great tolerance exercised by this church, sectarian bodies are extremely few and inconsiderable. The fact that the census of 1930...
Okay. Yeah, this is 1930s.
Showed that there were only 1,503 people in the whole of Iceland who do not associate themselves with the established church speaks very creditably for the nation.
Okay.
The oldest known translation of these scriptures, that's Old Testament, in any living language is that in Icelandic, 12th century.
Hmm. Okay. That is an old language. Yeah.
Iceland is preeminently the enlightened and cultured nation of Christendom. Now, see, again, this is written in the 30s.
Right.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's almost 100 years
ago. Right. Almost 100 years ago.
Benjamin was born near Bethlehem, and of Jacob's 12 sons, he was the only one born in the Holy Land. The name Benjamin means son of my right hand. It's Bin Yamin.
Mm-hmm.
That's right. Son of the right hand. Yamin is the right hand.
Okay.
Joseph and Benjamin were children of Rachel, who had no other sons. Although Reuben was Jacob's firstborn, he forfeited the birthright, which was transferred to Joseph, the second youngest son. That's 1 Chronicles 5, 1 and 2. He fooled around with one of his father's concubines.
Sure. Right.
The firstborn was entitled to a double portion of the inheritance. Hence, Joseph's posterity formed not one tribe, but two, an example.
Right. And I think all the other tribes were also disinherited from the firstborn status because they all conspired to put Joseph in that hole and left him to die.
They had multiple problems, which the patriarch goes through and lists them in his farewell address to the family.
Right.
He was done.
That's right. Joseph was an angel. You know, his brothers perceived him as being very arrogant, right? But his prophecies did come true. And he did save Israel because he was second in command in Egypt. So major development in the life of Israel in those
days.
Well,
he was young.
Mm-hmm.
And he was the pet, okay?
Yep.
Daddy's pet.
Right.
Now they have that coat of many colors. That is wrong, and I detail what that means in my translation of the scriptures, what it actually means is the coat that reaches the palms and soles. It was a long coat with long sleeves and was very long. Mm-hmm. It does not say anything about many colors.
Really?
That is a no, it does not anywhere. That is a mistrant. That is an error.
Okay.
Very bad error.
I see. Wow. Wow, that is a bad error.
Well, that's what Pastor Steve does, is dig up all this stuff.
It still could have been plaid, but it just doesn't say that, right? All right. Okay, so we've hit the bottom of the hour. Again, the number is 218-339-7800, and the access code is 546-7723. If anybody wants to call in, I will be monitoring the free conference. Okay? So go ahead, Pastor Steve.
Okay, the next page. From the foregoing, it will be seen that we could appropriately speak of Iceland as the Benjamin of Christendom, as little Benjamin ultimately became the great light bearer. Can it be that little Iceland is destined to become a great light to the nations?
Yeah, we hope so.
Well, when they kicked out the bankers, that was a real signal.
That's right.
The biblical prophecies indicate that it will be so. So they may have a purge up there.
Yeah. That would be
kick
nice.
Kick the rest of them out.
Right, right. Well, there can't be too many Jews there. Yeah, go ahead.
Both Christ and Daniel inform us that the present age is to culminate in a climax of unprecedented trouble upon the nations. This was written in the 1930s.
Right.
And he's talking about right now.
Yeah, he sure is.
It's here. It's not coming. It's here. That terrible trouble, which will smash to pieces all tyrannical and unjust institutions that oppress humanity, is to be but the painful transition which will usher in a new and better age, the golden age of prophecy. This is repeatedly declared in the Bible, for example, that worldwide trouble and what follows is described, and Zephaniah's prophecy just referred to. Verse 8 depicts the trouble, but verse 9 following declares, "For then, after the trouble, will I turn to the people a pure language, that they may all call upon the name of the Lord."
Yahweh.
Okay. To serve him with one consent.
That would be English.
Yes.
It's the predominant language of Israel.
We are promoting and expounding the name of Yahweh. His name is not Lord. His name is not God.
Right.
It's Yahweh. Mm-hmm. Though the others are titles.
Yes.
Again, Isaiah chapter 34 gives a vivid picture of the world tribulation, whilst the whole world of the next chapter 35 tells of the glorious time to follow and is one of the loveliest chapters in the whole Bible.
Mm-hmm. Okay, I'm lost. I'm not sure where you're at, so just go ahead and continue.
I'm in Isaiah chapter 24 also portrays the great... It's on that page 10.
Okay.
Okay, and it's about halfway down. Isaiah chapter 24 also portrays the great final cataclysm upon the nations, but shows that there will be one place that will shine forth as a beacon light in that dark night of worldwide trouble, and that the people there will be found worshiping.
Okay.
Or worthy, because it's W-O-R hyphen, and it doesn't have the rest of it.
Okay. All right. Yeah, I see. something WOR hyphen Ephraim and Manasseh, right? We've been running into that a lot in these articles that we've been reading on the scattered tribes.
Well, lots of the typos. The guys that did these, a lot of them, English is not their first language.
Right. Right.
The typos, you know, are just, they just miss something. They get distracted. And it's, who knows?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But, you got any callers yet?
No, not yet.
Okay.
Okay.
Somebody call in and harass Eli.
Yeah, right. I'd be harassing you, too. Yeah. All right.
Not
me. Yeah. All right. Please continue, and you know, I'll pick up on item number two.
All right. Ephraim and Manasseh, these being the names of Joseph's two sons, and on the division of the land of Canaan, these each received their own portion of territory in like manner to the other tribes. Hence, Ephraim, Manasseh, and Benjamin were by blood more closely related to each other than to the other tribes of Israel.
Well, they had the same mother. They had the, and no other tribes of Israel had that mother, otherwise known as Rachel.
That's right.
Mm-hmm.
Dean Fanar states that all the 12 apostles of Christ, with only one exception, were of the tribe of Benjamin. And that one exception was of the tribe of Judah. Incorrect.
That's right. I knew you'd catch
Iscariot.
That. I knew you'd catch that.
He was of the tribe of Edom.
That's right. That's right. Oh, he's British Israel. Adam Rutherford is British Israel. You know, they believe.
Yeah,
right.
Right. The only one that proved unfaithful.
Yep.
Well, he was a devil.
That's right.
Christ called, he says, I have chosen all of you, and one of you is a devil.
Yeah.
He was of the seed of the fallen one.
And Satan entered Yeshua, into him.
He knew, Yeshua knew, because he had to have a betrayer in order to accomplish the death to cover over our sins.
That's right.
But and the thing about Christ, he didn't have to stay dead.
That's right. Yeah. Yeah, and he didn't.
He didn't. Right. And that's
right.
What's got him
good
up
thing.
That.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
All 11 of Christ's chosen apostles, all of them except Jesus, were Galileans, the term Benjamites and Galileans being synonymous.
Pretty much,
But Judas Iscariot's place was eventually filled by a Benjamite. Hence, in the end, all the 12 chosen apostles of Christ were Galileans, Benjamites.
Yes.
As states in Acts 2:7.
So you can see that Adam Rutherford is really, you know, Christian identity all the way, but it's the British Israel version of it, which assumes that the Jews are the tribe of Judah, okay? Other than that, his commentary is right on the money. It shows he really knows the Bible. Okay.
I think this is where worshiping, this is from the last chapter where it were shipping.
Right.
Worshipping. Yes.
Oh, okay.
There we go. And singing songs of praise to God.
Uh-huh.
For in the middle of that chapter of woe, there is interjected these words, they shall lift up their voice, I shall sing for the majesty of the Lord. They shall cry aloud from the sea, wherefore glorify ye the Lord in the free, in the fires, pardon.
Right, okay.
Even in the name of the Lord God of Israel, in the isles of the sea. From the uttermost part of the earth have we heard songs, even glory to the righteous.
Okay. Wherefore we glorify the Lord in the fires. Okay. Let me take the next section here.
Yeah.
Three particulars are given concerning this place from which songs and thanksgiving are to be heard in the midst of a troubled world. One, the place is insular, for the songs of praise are stated to rise from the sea, from the isles of the sea. The Old Testament, of course, was written in Hebrew, but the Hebrew word for sea and for west is the same, namely, Yam? Really? Y-O-M? Isn't that the word for day?
It's Yam, Y-A-M.
Oh, okay. Y-A-M, not Y-O-M.
He's got some errors in here.
Okay, very good. As there are no islands of any consequence that are not in the sea, the proper translation evidently is Isles of the West. That could, yeah, that would make sense too. The only important islands in the West are the British Isles and Iceland. But the following considerations show that one of these islands in particular is referred to in the first place, and that it will be the people of that island who will ultimately incite the inhabitants of the other isles to sing also. Okay, to sing. All right. Well, Iceland has not been a leader in terms of the Christian identity movement. However, because they are insular, and you said that they're very much racially segregated, that's a real good thing in their favor. You know, maybe they'll catch on. And it reminds me of the, you know, what's happening today is the dead man's bones of Ezekiel coming back to life. You know, we're seeing that happening just about everywhere. Now, in fact, this latest generation of, let's call them post-millennialists, are turning against the Jews. They're more Jew-savvy than previous generations because of all the fake news that they've been brought up with. And they can see through it, where the millennials and Generation Z, and their predecessors are clueless, all right? And they're rejecting college because they realize college is not worth going to because you don't learn anything, and then you wind up with nothing but debt. So our young people are waking up in these last days. Okay.
Well, they're going more to trade schools.
Right.
Because they don't want to be just indoctrinated in political correctness. They want to learn how to actually do something.
Right.
So they can actually get a job.
Right.
To be productive, or somebody would want to hire them.
Yeah. And all of these left-wingers graduating from college these days, there's no work for them. Yeah, in fact, the colleges that train them are failing as well. So they're probably not even likely to get a job as a teacher's aide in the university. It's all collapsing. It's all collapsing. And the last report I heard was that the Christian colleges are doing way better than the secular colleges these days. Okay? So, folks, that's all really good news. All right, point number two.
The state-supported universities are failing.
Yeah, they are. Yes, they're not even worth considering to go to. Not even worth considering. All right, number two. These insular people are described in the prophecy as living amidst fires. In our world, the only fires of nature that we know are volcanoes. And Iceland is the only one of these islands that has active volcanoes. Not only so, but in proportion to its size, Iceland contains more volcanoes than any other country in the world. In modern times, the tremendous outpourings of white-hot lava in Iceland are unexampled anywhere else in the world, not even Hawaii. Hawaii has like one active volcano, as far maybe two. And they blow off steam every once in a while, but not constantly like Iceland does.
Well, Hawaii has one volcano that's constantly erupting, but it's just it's got a hole in the side of it, and lava comes out of that and goes into the sea.
Right.
And it's adding territory just like Iceland.
Right, right. But Iceland has many of these, you know, outpourings of lava. As comparatively recently as 1783, the great Lockey Craters threw out a lava stream about 45 miles in length and 15 miles in breadth. Stefan Stefansson, in his book on Iceland, says that this is by far the greatest on record and unparalleled on the earth in historic times. So far as is known, this is the biggest fire the world has ever seen since man was upon the earth. The whole country of Iceland was formed by fire. It owes its existence entirely to volcanic action, and the many geysers and hot springs to be found all over the island are connected with the volcanic fires below. Iceland is known to Europeans as the land of fire. Okay, so I would say that prophecy came true. I had never heard of this prophecy. What was that citation from the Bible? The people of the fires? Isaiah 24:14 through 16. Very good, Mr. Rutherford. Very good. Okay. You want to take it up at number five?
Yeah, let's see here.
311, whatever that is. Yeah, it's, again, a lot of typos in this document.
All right. The Hebrew word Urim, translated fires in the above quotation from the English Bible, also means lights. Okay. The only great natural lights in our world are the polar lights, the northern lights, or aurora borealis, and the southern lights, or aurora australis.
Okay.
And the only island nation living sufficiently near either pole to see these lights vividly from all parts of the country is Iceland.
Mm-hmm. Okay, very interesting.
The prophecy locates this insular country as being in the uttermost part of the earth, or as the ancients said, the Ultima Thule.
Mm-hmm.
The expression was at one time applied in a general way to the far north, but later became localized to Iceland.
Mm-hmm.
They need to sing it far north.
Yeah, right.
far right. Sir Richard Burton has written a work of two large volumes entitled Ultima Thule. This work is certainly at the uttermost part of the earth, for beyond it there is nothing but the ice-bound polar sea. The north coast of Iceland touches the Arctic Circle.
Wow.
That's
out there. That's far north.
It's out there.
Yeah. Right? Okay.
Well, they can stay warm. They can huddle around the local volcano.
Well, yeah, that's exactly right. Yeah. And they might, I don't know how much of the Gulf Stream they get in Iceland. It may run to the east of Iceland. But they've got so much warmth coming from all the undersea, you know, volcanic activity. I mean, underland volcanic activity.
They don't have steam heat. They just pump water
right
through these pipes, and heat is free up there.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Just hot water heat.
Yep. Yeah. Okay. This work is a description of which the author calls the Canaan of the North. Okay. Well, our people came from Canaan land, but we're not Canaanites, right? Okay. Let me take the next section here. That God has been preparing the Icelandic nation to sing praises to him at the special time now near at hand is shown by the following extract from Chambers Encyclopedia, caption Iceland, Volume 6. Iceland has always been and still is rich in songwriters, especially of a lyrical and religious tendency. That paragraph continues. There's a number five breaks into the paragraph. In the 17th century, the great religious poet Hallgrímur Péturson was raised up, and ever since that time, his beautiful hymns have been sung at family worship in nearly every Icelandic home. and have had a distinctly uplifting influence on the spiritual life of the nation. Let me jump up to the previous paragraph. It is also referred to as the land of fire and frost. Iceland was originally called Snowland, although the climate in the lower lands of the southwest is remarkably equable. The interior of Iceland contains huge snowfields. Perpetual snow occupies over 50,400 square miles of the country, and the snow line in the north of the island is only 2,000 feet above sea level. Okay, well, I'm sure the air around there is quite cold. When speaking of Iceland, of course, we mean not only the island of Iceland, but also the small neighboring islands, such as the Westman Islands and Grimsey, which are inhabited by Icelanders and form part of the country. The black clouds of trouble are gathering fast over the nations of continental Europe. You can say that again.
Black clouds of trouble. Oh.
Right. Yeah, I like it. And
what
Asia,
it is, bro.
Yeah, it is what it is. And it is but a short time till the terrible Holocaust foretold. Now, it's interesting that he chose to use the word Holocaust. Right? Before the Jews commandeered it. Because this was written sometime in the 1930s, you know, probably mid to late 1930s. And he chose to use the word Holocaust. Why do you think he used the word Holocaust, Pastor Steve? Yeah, well, I mean, look at all the fire, right? Holocaust is fire. Of course, he's thinking in terms of, you know, number one, volcanic fire. But there's also going to be a lot of fire and brimstone and atomic explosions and what have you. It's going to be burning. And he probably has the tares in mind as well. So the tares are going to burn, folks. All right? So, but Iceland will be the bright spot on the earth, for the Creator has arranged for Iceland to be free from militarism and from religious controversies in order that this little nation may be a Christian example to the great nations of the world. Okay, I think he may be reaching a little here. You know, I don't think it's...
Wishful thinking back in the 1930s. He did not foresee any of this horrendous behavior that we're seeing.
Yeah.
Multiculturalism. In our times today.
Right. There's no way he could imagine anything like that, right? But Iceland did, you know, kick the banksters out, and that's a great example that the rest of the Caucasian nations need to follow, okay? So, through the deliverance of Iceland, the Almighty will demonstrate to the world his great love and care over a defenseless nation who worship him in sincerity and truth. Let the Icelandic people, therefore, cleanse themselves from everything which is known to be displeasing to God in order that they may give the great witness for him that he desires. O Iceland, what an honor is yours. Let every soul from Kolbeinsey to Geirfuglasker put forth every effort to raise the spiritual life of the Icelandic nation to the highest possible standard. Okay. So I
had a problem with that when I was drag racing once down at the track. My gear Geirfuglasker jammed up, and I couldn't shift gears, and the guy smoked me.
And your car flipped over on the ice land.
It was all Fuglostered up.
Right? It sure was. It sure was. Okay. One more section here, because I see we're very close to the end here.
Yeah.
Number six, when the 10 tribes were taken captive to Assyria, the Assyrians placed in their vacated territory a mixture of foreign races who became known as the Samaritans. They were not Israelites, folks. Again, Rutherford knows his stuff. He knows his Bible. But when the two tribes of Judah and Benjamin were carried away to Babylon, no people occupied their land in the south of Palestine. It lay desolate. The 10 tribes never returned from Assyria, but the two tribes returned soon after the fall of Babylon and re-inhabited their unoccupied land. The territory of Benjamin lay to the north of Judah's portion and adjacent to it. In course of time, as the population greatly increased, the Benjamites spread still further north into Galilee, a much larger tract of land beyond the Samaritans, whilst Judah expanded to Benjamin's original small piece of territory in addition to retaining their own portion. At least he's not using the word Jew for Judah. That's really good. This explains why the city of Jerusalem, which was originally in Benjamin's territory, Joshua 18:28, was to be found in Judea by the time of Christ. In the book of Ezra, the tribes who had returned from the captivity are stated Judah and Benjamin. Ezra and Nehemiah are the biblical books which give the account of the return from the captivity, and in these, none of the 10 tribes of the kingdom of Israel are ever mentioned, although the Ezra and Nehemiah refer to those two tribes as Israel. They almost always refer to Judah and Benjamin as Israel. Ezra and Nehemiah are the biblical books. Okay, sorry. The 10 tribes, of course, were never taken to Babylon at all, but to Assyria, hundreds of miles north from Babylon, and their captivity preceded that of Judah and Benjamin by about a century. Secular history is as clear as the Bible history on the matter. Josephus, the well-known Judahite historian, about AD 70 wrote, quote, "The 10 tribes did not return to Palestine. Only 2 tribes served the Romans after Palestine became a Roman." Oh, great. Here we go again. A Roman. Where does it pick up? A Roman, what, colony? Province. There you go.
Yeah, down.
Yeah.
The same historian also said.
Yeah. But there are but 2 tribes in Asia and Europe subject to the Romans. And beyond the Euphrates till now, and are an immense multitude. And I think we can vouch for the veracity of Josephus's account of the history of Israel, and because we've been doing these shows about his story of Herod, proving beyond
somebody
any.
Somebody needs to do a cut and paste job on this to put
together. Yeah, right. Yeah, I mean, whoever put this together, I mean, he split paragraphs, you know, and inserted paragraphs into the middle of paragraphs. It's really a bad cut and paste job, okay? So, but probably this happened before they had OCR, right?
Yeah. Right.
Right, and that's
this was written in the 1930s.
Right.
It was typed out on a manual typewriter with
that's
a
right.
ribbon paper.
That's right. Mm-hmm. Yeah. By some white secretary, right, who probably had no idea what she was typing, right?
Right.
And so therefore, you know, it all got cut up and repasted in the wrong way. So, okay, so as we said, we're probably going to do a 2-part show on the tribe of Benjamin. And so far, this is very good. It really is backed up by scripture. Adam Rutherford really knows his stuff. He is one of the best identity historians who ever lived. You know, the only
he's good.
He's
got a few skewed ideas, but
yeah. Well, as British Israel does, and you know, giving Jews the name of Judah, which they don't deserve.
Right.
Other than that, you know, and then maybe I don't know if he throws. I haven't caught any universalism yet. Nothing universalistic about this account here. But here we are, folks. This hour really flew by fast. And, we're going to have to call it a night. And,
Time to sign out.
Yeah, no calls. But, as people get more familiar with the number, people will start calling it, hopefully. And, we'll have a very lively telephone presence on Eurofolk Radio as well. So thanks for listening. Praise Yahweh. Folks, see you again next time.
Yahweh bless.
Yahweh bless.